Welcome to the Intentional Parenting Podcast. My name is France Taillard. I am a mom and parenting coach. I coach moms how to consciously parent their child and re-parent themselves using human design and other tools. Each week, I bring you a message to guide you on this journey we call parenting. Why? Because it is one of my biggest skills and talents in life as a 3-5 splenic projector is to be a problem solver. I experience many different things and situations, and I use that experience to guide you to find creative solutions to your challenges. My goal is to guide you to experience a deep, authentic connection with yourself and your child. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Hello, and welcome to today's episode. Today we have Dr. Lisa Weeks with us. Thank you for joining us, Lisa.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Ross.
Always. So let me tell you a little bit about Lisa. So she is a naturopathic doctor, a mom, and a podcast host to the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast, and a facilitator for the Wild Collective Toronto. So it is a women's health community initiative. So over the past 15 years of practice, Dr. Lisa has helped those who struggle with burnout, fatigue, anxiety, insomnia, digestive issues, skin rashes, hormonal imbalances, and more. Her ultimate goal is to get to the root cause of your health concern, not suppress the symptoms. And she believes lifestyle changes and healthy habits are the key to optimal wellness. So the reason I met Lisa through a friend and the reason that I wanted to have her with us today, like I was telling her a little bit before the episode started, is that I was having like massive breast tenderness. Like it would last for as soon as I would be done ovulating, like it would be about 2 weeks. And you literally, like, I would be scared when my daughter Daphne would run up to me to try to hug me or something because it was so tender. Like I had like this protective hula hoop around me, this protective bubble, because I didn't want anyone to come close because it was so painful. And I lived with that for about 3 years, mainly because I didn't know there was a solution to solve this. So I started looking into more of solutions to help us, you know, and learning about our system, our reproductive system and all that. And it just empowered me a lot. So that's the main reason I wanted to have Dr. Lisa here, is because so many of my clients have hormonal challenges, PMS issues, you name it. And they feel like they can't do anything about it. It just is what it is and they have to live with it. So what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I know. I get so frustrated when so many patients come to me and their doctor's like, well, that's just your hormones. There's nothing you could do. Yes, maybe you can go on the pill. You know, that's going to override or hijack your hormonal system. Sometimes people get symptoms from taking the pill too, but so many women are suffering for years because if we do the math, like about 40 of our years are when we're getting a period. And if we're spending half that time or even a quarter of that time having PMS symptoms, that's 10 to 20 years, right? It's a long time to suffer, and it can be debilitating. You have a breast tenderness. You don't want anyone to touch you or hug you. You can feel it when you're sleeping. We know our mood can be impacted. We can have low mood or anxiety. The gut can be thrown off. There can be painful cramping. Like, it really impacts our quality of life and our relationships with our loved ones, our kids, our coworkers, etc. And there are solutions out there. So we're going to talk about that today.
Perfect. Yeah. One of the first things that really hit home for me was looking at the myths. So let's start with one that you mentioned here. So period problems aren't a big deal. Why is this a myth and why do we need to debunk this?
Yeah, we need to look at the period as our fifth vital sign, right? So we look at our heart rate, our blood pressure, our temperature, our respiratory rate. The menstrual cycle in females is the fifth vital sign. And some like colleges of obstetrics are calling it that as well, because it tells us what's going on, not only with our hormones, but also with other systems, because we know stress, cortisol, adrenal health influences our hormones, right? How many people go through a major loss or stressor and their cycle's totally out of whack? We know our thyroid, if that's off, that's going to influence our hormones. If you're hypothyroid, you're going to have heavier periods. You're going to have more cramping and clotting. So it's this interplay of our menstrual cycle and our hormones with all these other systems in our body. And then we know our menstrual cycle and our estrogen levels influence our serotonin levels and our mood and our sleep. So there's downstream effects that then can further increase risk of chronic disease and diabetes and cardiovascular disease. So we really need to look at our hormones and our PMS like a detective to figure out what's going on so we can be preventative and support all of these other systems in our body to age gracefully, to prevent chronic disease, to have vitality and a good quality life.
I love that. So well said. Thank you. What about, like PMS and or cramping? So I know for me as a teen, I had massive cramps like for years, and I would miss like 2 or 3 days of school every time I had my period because I was just in like so much pain, and I would take so many painkillers that I actually, and probably it was, I guess it was Advil that would have done that, but I ended up developing an ulcer because I was taking too many drugs to help with this PMS. So like, do we have to live with PMS? Do we have to live with cramping? Is it normal?
It's not. No. So when we're getting cramping, so it can be a sign that there might be relatively high estrogen to low progesterone. We know even just those drastic hormone changes, like when your hormones, so they cycle throughout the month. In the second half of your cycle after ovulation, progesterone is high. There still is like a peak in estrogen, but it's not as high as progesterone. But after ovulation, those go high, and sometimes those high levels can aggravate. And then when they drop, that actually can trigger symptoms as well, like PMS. And cramping can also be a sign there's inflammation, there's nutrient deficiencies like calcium and magnesium. And we know the estrogen influences how our calcium is used and where it's taken up in the body. It naturally fluctuates throughout the month, the estrogen and then the calcium as well. So all of those can be a factor, but really we're not supposed to have PMS symptoms that are severe and debilitating. We are going to notice cyclical changes in terms of what we feel like doing or energy levels, because we do need to recognize that different times of the month, depending on our hormones, we're gonna feel differently. Like we want to get more rest and rejuvenation leading up to our period and when we have it, right? So you might feel a little more tired, maybe like a little bit more down, but it shouldn't be debilitating. But we don't want this cramping, this PMS to affect your quality of life where you're in bed, where you're popping non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which then can have their own problems, right? Nutrient deficiencies, gut problems, depleting folic acid, etc. So we don't need to have these severe symptoms, that's for sure.
So interesting. And when you said that, it was probably due to high estrogen. I think that's the same cause of the breast tenderness.
So it can be,
That's what I had kind of from the research I had done. I think it's the estrogen that's the issue here. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting. So it kind of like shift forms. I wasn't experiencing the cramps anymore, but I was doing it in the breast. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I know. In the breast too, I find some people notice a difference when they have more caffeine, more chocolate, like the theobromines can aggravate it as well. And your cycle can vary as we get older. Like some months you might actually ovulate and some months you might not, and you get what's called an anovulatory bleed. Those cycles, your estrogen could be really high. It's not balanced by the progesterone, right? Some cycles you might not really have much estrogen if you're going through perimenopause and missing cycles. So then you get menopausal symptoms. So the waters become muddy, right? Like it could vary from month to month. One month you're like, I feel like I'm menopausal. The next month I'm like, I feel like I'm a teenager. I'm getting pimples and my breasts are sore. So there's so much fluctuation in the hormones. It's not like one day, you know, your period stops and then you're in menopause, right? It's like there's this transition period, which I talk about a lot, called perimenopause.
Yeah. And we're not educated very much about that, because I have a friend who's a few years older than me, and she was telling me that, like, I think it was last year. She was like, how is this possible? Like, I'm not even old. But anyways, it's an interesting thing, and definitely educating ourselves on this. And also like for our kids, like I have a daughter and she's 6, and I'm like, this understanding this information will help them so much in their transition and what they have to suffer or not suffer through, because we understand, like, you know, everyone should know this information before they hit puberty.
Yeah, they really should, because yeah we learn, like, yeah, you get a period, you get a flow, here's some tampons or pads. We don't talk about what's happening during the month. We don't talk about, these are some signs or symptoms you can get that your period's coming. I was never told to really track it and pay attention to how I feel at different times of the month. It can be really empowering, because actually a lot of sports teams, women's professional sports teams, are using menstrual cycle awareness to maximize their, you know, their wins and their productivity and their nutrition. So they know when they should push harder depending on where they are in the menstrual cycle. They know how they should eat to maximize their gains. And the women's US soccer team attributes winning the World Cup to following a menstrual cycle awareness program. Their coaches were well-versed in that. You know, I think a snowshoe team is following it. You know, I see a day where we all are able to bring this into our work, into our daily life, and be really open about where we are in our cycle. Like right now, I'm due to get my period in a few days. I try to schedule talks around when I'm ovulating, but it didn't work out this time, but that's okay. But you're more articulate when you're ovulating. You know, when you're due to get your period, you're going to feel a little bit more lethargic. You're not, your brain's not going to be as clear. There's a little more brain fog. So it's interesting. We can be aware of these times of the month and pass this on to our daughters to let them know, yeah, if you feel a little tired, take a rest. Your period's coming. You're going to get, you know, that rejuvenation. You know, you might feel like being more social around ovulation. So let's schedule your party around that time, so you can use it that way.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because I started like living my life and you know, scheduling podcasts and things like that around my hormonal cycle or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's interesting. And even like you talked about the sports team, like when I think of this, I just think about like when I was in high school, I feel like it's when kind of like the tampons started coming out and there was like the sports tampon. And I was like, now looking back, I'm like, you know, they're telling us that we need to push through and we can't let it like hold us back. But like, yet, just like the seasons, there's a time to rest. Like we have that every single month, right? So like, yeah, okay, use the tampon, but like also rest, totally. You know, if you want to, but it's not the message we're receiving. We're receiving that it's like a thing that is keeping us back. It's not good for us and we need to push through it. Yet it's like hurting us in so many areas. So yeah.
No, yeah, it can be our superpower, right? If we know our testosterone peaks around ovulation, that's when you're going to get the most gains for your training and strength. You're going to get the most gains for rest and recovery around your period or when you have your period. You're not going to tax that cortisol, the stress hormone, which is going to make your body more in breakdown mode. Yeah, it's so fascinating. There's so many pieces to that.
We could talk for hours, I'm sure. Let's just take a short break here for a commercial. I hope you're loving this episode so far. Have you downloaded our free app yet? Did you know that we have an entire app dedicated to helping you be the more intentional, loving, compassionate, fun, and patient parent you desire to be? You can find it in the App Store on both Apple and Android phones. Follow the link in the show notes to download now. Pause this episode now, download it, and come back and find me on Instagram to let me know what you love about it. So let's dive into another myth. What about the birth control pill? What, like, I know for me growing up, it was like to get rid of cramps and to like, you know, because I was getting the ulcers and whatever, like that was the only solution for me. Does it solve all of our period problems? And like, what do we need to know about that?
Yeah, so I know it can seem like it does for some people, right? Some people have negative effects to the pill, but some people are like, oh my gosh, it's a lifesaver. And there is a time and a place for it, right? It does give you, for some people, that's the good choice so that they're not getting pregnant, right? If they're really suffering and they need kind of like a fix in a short amount of time, that may be the option for you. It has given us a lot of freedoms, but we also need to understand what comes along with taking the pill, right? And there are other forms of birth control as well. But when you take the pill, it's basically hijacking your hormone system and giving you basically a steady amount of hormones every day of the month, depends on the pill, right? And then when you get those those placebo pills, that's like your hormones are dropping. So that's when you get your actual period soon after starting those placebo pills or stopping the hormonal pills. So you're actually not ovulating. So your body's not in its natural rhythm, right? So it's basically telling your body what to do. For some people, you know, they feel fine. And then when they come off the pill, their natural cycle resumes. Right? So some people, they're fine. Other people, you know, they expect to stop it and get pregnant within a month or two, but some people may not get their period for a while, or it takes their body time to get that natural rhythm of the brain connecting to, you know, the ovaries and ovulation occurring and the cycle happening. So we just need to recognize that everybody is different, but yeah, it's not fixing problems, because when you come off the pill, most likely the hormone imbalances or issues you had are still going to be there. You know, things could potentially change if you have PCOS and you've made changes with your diet and exercise, you've got blood sugar under control, but it may be masking what's actually going on. And then we do know the birth control depletes a lot of nutrients, right? It depletes a lot of the B vitamins, magnesium, zinc, some other minerals. So you really want to make sure you're taking a high quality multivitamin mineral. You know, talk to your healthcare practitioner to see if you need iron or what certain nutrients are best for you. But we need to replenish that as well. And being on a synthetic estrogen potentially may impact your thyroid function in the long term. Some people may notice mood changes. So it's something to be aware of. It doesn't fix, it just may manage until you get off of it, and then you'll know what your natural rhythm is after.
Yeah, to me that is, so I love that, because it's like what you're all about, getting to the root cause of the problem. So a few things that you said in there was like, well, it's not getting to the root cause of the problem, so it'll come back at some point. But to me, when I learned that when we are on the pill, we're not ovulating, therefore we don't have a true period, that's kind of scary to me.
Yeah, it's a withdrawal bleed, right? So yeah, the estrogen tells our body to build up the lining. And then when we stop the hormones, the body just sheds, because it's like, okay, there's, well, we didn't ovulate, but there was no sperm, there was no fertilization. So it's a withdrawal bleed. It's not an actual real menstrual flow.
And I think most people don't understand that. And if you did, then you'd be like, whoa, like, what am I putting in my body that's stopping this altogether? That's how I feel, at least. So that's interesting. So we talked a little bit about the like Aleve and the Advil and the Motrin. Is it safe to take these things? Do you have, like, you did mention it a little bit before, but is there more that you need to say about it? Is it safe to take it regularly? What are the side effects of that?
Yeah, so, you know, if you are needing to take it regularly, it's a sign that we need to look under the hood, right? So there's ways to reduce the cramping through supporting your hormones and your cycle through reducing inflammation. There's natural painkillers as well that don't have the same side effects as those, you know, the Aleve, the Motrin. So they actually impact our liver function, which we need to detoxify hormones along with, so like 500 other, you know, reactions or systems in the body. We know that those anti-inflammatory pain reducing medications can cause leaky gut, and then you can't absorb the good nutrients from your food. And then they also deplete things like folic acid, iron, melatonin. You know, Tylenol, some people reach to, they may not find it as effective, but you also need to be aware that it reduces what's called glutathione, which we actually need to detoxify hormones and chemicals and toxins as well. So, you know, it may be a crutch, but I would say if you need it, you know, every cycle, see a naturopathic doctor, someone who focuses in hormones, to get under the hood so that you either, you know, don't need that regularly, or at least you switch to a more natural anti-inflammatory that doesn't have those same side effects, those different herbs and supplements you can use.
Yeah, I like that. It's like, if it's the one-off thing and it's weird, then that's kind of okay-ish. But then if it's a regular thing, every month you need to take, you know, a pill every 4 hours to manage your symptoms, then yeah, let's look under the hood there. I like that approach a lot. Okay, so one other myth that we can talk about is, it says here, just your period will just stop one day, and that is when you're in menopause. What do we need to know about that?
So many women think that, right? We don't really learn about what is it like from transitioning to getting a regular period to not getting your period. The average age of menopause is 51. So that's the defined as going a whole year without a period. So it's kind of like, you know, after the fact, if you will. But there is a time of 4 years, 10 years, 8 years before that, where your period starts to become unpredictable. And as I mentioned before, there might be months where you ovulate, months you don't. Your period might be coming, you know, like every 2 or 3 weeks, and then some months it might skip a month. So there's this cycle of time called perimenopause, where you're really noticing symptoms, and it can be debilitating. Like hot flashes can occur, especially in those anovulatory cycles. Your sleep can be impacted, your mood. So many women just don't feel like themselves. Like they feel like they're snapping at their partner, yet they can't sleep. Some people get lots of joint pain and aches and pains in the body during this time. So a lot of women go see their doctor, and the doctor's like, well, this is just, you know, you leading up to menopause. There's nothing you can do. But we're really recognizing now in perimenopause, there's things we can do before and during to make that transition to menopause more favorable, right? Our hormones are going to be in flux during this time, but it's helping us manage the symptoms to enhance our quality of life is what's key.
Okay, well, that's good to know, because yeah, when we start getting those hot flashes or whatever other perimenopausal symptoms, like there are things that we can do about it. And I think, in my opinion, the best approach is to work with a naturopathic doctor or someone who is really familiar with hormonal health to help us manage and get through that.
Definitely. There are solutions that don't feel like you're losing your mind. You're like, I don't know what's happening. It's changing mm-hmm. from month to month. There are supports out there.
That's good. Well, thank you so much for this. We're going to continue on. There's another part to this. So if you're listening to part one, just keep your eye out for part two. We'll be diving a little bit deeper with Dr. Lisa here.
Thank you.
If you desire guidance from me every week, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and also follow me on Instagram or TikTok. I want to leave you with this quote. Great parenting happens when you start controlling yourself and stop controlling your child. Parenting is more about reparenting yourself as it is about parenting your child. This is a process. This is a journey, and I am here to guide you one connection at a time.